by the most learned scholars of that day. You know, he said his preaching was under the anointing. That's what he said, under the anointing and the power of the Spirit. That's what our preaching and teaching should be about. And what he preached was confirmed with signs and wonders. That's what God wants to do. And that's why it's so important to understand this message. You know, it's not pulling down the church, it's picking up the church. God, I mean, I love whooping. I love to hear him whooping. Yeah, oh Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I understand that. And it does something to your spirit. And I like it. But let me tell you something. Without the word of God, you ain't gonna have no confirmation of the preaching by signs following. We need to know that when we preach and when we teach, that we can lay hand on the sick and that he both shun. Oh, that a shun that they have. That when we lay hand on the sick, they will recover. That when we speak to a dead person, that the breath of life will come back in them. That's what we need to know. And that's how we need to preach and teach the word. Just like Paul and the disciples and Jesus did. You know, this is the outcome that God is expecting. You know, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, chains are broken. My God, the chains are broken off of us. Sickness and disease are healed right then. They're cured. The lame can get up and start walking. You know, the amputees of legs and toes and fingers will grow back immediately. You know, the dead will rise. When we speak the word and we speak life, the dead will get up and start walking in the name of Jesus. Saints of God, this is what I'm talking about in this lesson, you know, and all those missing parts will be restored. And I want to tell you, the kidneys, the hearts, the lungs, the pancreas, the liver, the spleen, the colon, all of those parts that are eroding, the kidneys in our bodies will come back to life when we're preaching and teaching under the ability that God has given us through the power of the Holy Ghost, letting God do what he's supposed to do. We do what we're supposed to do by preaching the word only. We have to preach the word only. And then God, he will confirm the preaching and teaching with signs following. Amen. So we're going to get further along in this lesson. And it's a lot to cover. But we'll get to a lot more of this lesson within the next week or so. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, pay close attention to the word of God. Preachers and teachers, make sure you're doing the things that God has called us to do, because there has to be a change in the church. God said he's coming back after church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And we know there's just so many spots, wrinkles, and blemishes in the church. We can see it in the people, and in some of the preachers you can see it. So we're not coming to criticize, we're not coming to judge, we're not coming to put down. We're just coming to say that it's time for a change in the church. If we're going to make it in, if we're really sincere about making it in, we're going to have to make some changes in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT,
Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. Matthew's chapter 6. And I want to commence reading at verse 24. St. Matthew's chapter 6, beginning at verse 24, recorded of these words. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought or be sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, be careful what you care about. Be careful what you care about. If you don't mind, reach over and touch one of your neighbors and say, neighbor, be careful what you care about. Now, the word has cautioned us to be careful about our cares. And first of all, I think it is beneficial in understanding the word and making clear the differences in the usage and the connotations in the word care, how both they are positively charged and negatively charged. And here, this reference is not to the positive charge care, but to the negatively charged care. The positive is affirming, affirmation, care, concern. about those things that are worthy of our adoration and our love and respect. That word care is not the reference used here in this text or context. It is the negative of that care. It is to be anxious. It is to be overly concerned. It is to be grieved and to be worried that the Lord is saying you ought not to be. And one of the things that I think is important is that we understand how we are to walk according to this word and the world's cares that come upon us, because there is an undeniable reality that we have need of the things that the Gentile seeks after. But rather, Jesus is bringing them into focus and saying, why is it that we allow stuff we can't change, stuff we may not be able to conquer, or stuff we may not be able to control, cause us to worry? When you recognize God holds you responsible only for what you can do, when you recognize that God only assigns to you the things he's given you strength to do, anything above and beyond what God has equipped you to do is not for you. If it is not for you to do, then it is not for you to worry about. And so it's important to recognize your relationship with God and your role with God and your responsibility to God and the things that God has assigned unto your life. Everything that Jesus brings up in these words he has spoken, they all have a purpose and they all have power sufficient unto the purpose for which they are called. You need to realize that you are here for a purpose, and God has given you power sufficient only to the purpose he's assigned to your life. You may not ever be able to do what the person on the side of you can do, in front of you can do, behind you can do, because that might not be what God called you to do. But when you recognize your calling, you will recognize that God has purposed you and powered you with divine power to accomplish the assignment of your life. Now, several things I want us to see. First of all, the secret to a careful life is threefold. Now, he's really talking about being carefree, not as being thoughtless and mindless and not putting thought or the ability to reason a situation through. That's not at all what he's talking about. What he's talking about is, once you have come to the point where your situation is more than you can bear, when you come to the point where your situation is more than God has given you to deal with, then you must recognize that God expects you to take the care, the anxiety, the burdens, the problems, and to cast that on to him and not deal with that you will never, ever be able to conquer. You see, the things that you are assigned to conquer, you've got power to conquer. But that's not everything that you've been given that you take on yourself to accomplish that you will accomplish. That's how we live defeated lives, when we try to attach ourselves to an assignment we were not given. And that's a way to be frustrated trying to make something work that God has not given to you to work out. And so look at Jesus, how he deals with the text, and he reveals to us these secrets to a carefree life. First of all, they are, as I've stated, threefold. The first thing is, we must analyze the cause of worry. Analyze the cause of worry. See, because here's what you've got to determine. Is what I'm dealing with what God has given to me, or is what I'm dealing with I put on myself? And you analyze, why am I in the fix that I am in? Why am I dealing with the situation that I am dealing with? Is it a test for me? Or is it something I have stepped out of the word, the will, and the way of God and put myself into? Is it something I have reached out beyond my ability and beyond my assignment that I am now dealing with this a series of troubles and problems and situations? Well, when you analyze the situation and make sure that you judge it against the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God, you will begin to discover that sometimes your worry comes because of natural causes. Somebody say natural causes. What are the natural causes? Well, let's look in verse 25. Look at what he says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, it doesn't mean to be senseless and careless. It means carefree, sensible. Listen to what it says. It says, what ye shall eat, these are natural things, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Now, some of our causes of worry come from natural causes. We are more consumed with what we're going to eat, what we're going to dress, how we're going to look, all of these things. These are natural things. Now, you need to know, God knows you have a need of these things every day. Every day. But the problem doesn't come in the need. The problem comes in the greed. There isn't a creature God made he can't feed. And our problem is not about what we eat, but it's how much and the things that we eat that brings us to a point of worrying. Our dietary preferences sometimes go opposite and diametrically opposite, I should say, of the will of God for our bodies. Some things we know we ought not eat and then eat out of control with. But we do it anyhow. You know, we eat so much of it that we can't eat in moderation. You know, you doctors will tell you that it's not always what you eat, is how much you eat that makes the difference. Some things can be eaten that we ought not eat and overindulge in, and they won't hurt us, but it's when we just can't put it down. Can't leave it alone. Eating excessive amounts of, I know I'm talking to myself and I'm not talking about you, but I'm just telling you, the body sooner or later is going to show you that it was not designed to handle the gluttony that you have placed on it. And so it retaliates with all kinds of illnesses brought on by not the fact that you needed to eat, but what you decided to eat and the fact that you didn't put a limitation on your eat. Y'all getting mighty quiet up in here. It ain't about eating. It's about overeating and eating the things that are not right for you. You're supposed to eat every day. You're supposed to eat at certain times a day. You're supposed to give your body what it needs to produce what God has designed for it to produce. So it's not about the eating, but it's about you misusing the eating experience. It is said that we need 8 8-ounce glasses of water every day for the body to function naturally. Well, you need water, but everybody don't want to drink water. And if they drink water, they don't drink the proper amount of water. And I got news for you. They say Coke is the real thing, but it can't replace water. Talking about Sprite, obey your thirst. I promise you, you get in the wilderness experience, get in the desert experience, they hand you a glass of water and hand you a glass of Sprite. I'm here to tell you, you might drink the Sprite, but it won't do for your body what your body really wants to have done to it. And only water can produce and quench that thirst. You can drink Sprite and still need some water after you finish your Sprite. You might like the Sprite, but your body prefers the water. And then move on to drinks of more. Well, I think you get where I'm going. I don't really have to go there. And you know, some that want to qualify it and quantify it by scripture, talking about Paul say a little wine is good for the stomach. Well, Paul was in a place where the water was bad. And the wine he was talking about didn't get you drunk. So you need to clarify when you talk about that. He ain't talking about no Boone's Farm. He ain't talking about no Maison or none of the rest of that stuff. He's talking about fruit. Hmm. and clothes. You know, some of us, again, worry about clothes. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I believe that you ought to be able to have and dress and represent God the best of your ability. But God is looking more at what is underneath your clothes, your heart, your spirit, your mind, than he is what's on your body. And some of us think that we've arrived and we are celebrated when we can wear other folks' names. Now, if you want to do something, design your own clothes and wear your own label. I mean, you know, it used to be when folk had bigger concerns and they weren't relegated just down to what folk had on their body, but they were more concerned what was in their body. And so it wasn't just about a name brand stuff, or just wasn't about that stuff that looked so pretty and so cute and all the rest of this, but the body was deteriorating, or the spirit was deteriorating, or the inner parts were deteriorating, but they look good. It don't matter that you look good on your way to hell. You look like somebody stepped out the fashion book, but yet your soul is messed up and your mind is messed up. Your heart is messed up. I got news for you. You're going to the place where folk are dressed up and messed up. And that place is called hell. God isn't going to walk through church and say, let me pick out who's the best dressed. I'm taking them back to heaven with me. You can't pay your tithe, but I tell you, you sure make sure you got on something brand new every Sunday. You can't give to missions because you need a new pair of shoes to go with that outfit you've been holding for 3 months trying to find the right shoes and the right purse. Well, I ain't nothing wrong with having that, but you can't let all of the real things go undone. You can't come to church because you ain't got nothing new. Well, I warned this already. I can't wear this. Well, my brothers and sisters, it says much about us when we think our clothes are more valuable than our souls to the Lord. God wants us to realize that it is the inner man. It is about what is underneath the skin that matters most to him. You know, as a matter of fact, when you ain't all dressed up, you many times don't have, and I ain't saying nothing wrong with being dressed up if you can still praise him while you're dressed up. See, but some of you get too cute when you get dressed up and you don't want your hat to fall off and you can't move your head and you can't lift your hands and you don't want nobody to step on your shoes and wait a minute, they don't take... No, listen, if the Lord blessed me to wear $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 shoes, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 suit, or a $500 hat, I ought to be praising him more than anybody up in here if he can bless me with that much stuff on. I ought not sit down and act like because God has blessed me, now I don't need to praise him. And so we really pray concern for things that ought to be concerned down to things that don't really matter. And so our first concerns happen to be natural causes. But then you're going to find out that as we analyze our cause of worry, that verse 30 in the 6th chapter of Matthew reveals that sometime our causes are spiritual. Look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Now here's where he begins to reveal the spiritual problem. O ye of little faith? You see, because when we analyze the source of our worry, it really breaks down to we don't really have faith in God. We break down to the reality of what it is that we are really masking in and we're really covering. And it's the fact that we really don't have the faith that we ought to have in God. And so as a result of that, we discover that the cause of our worry is not just natural, because that deals with the fleshly part when we try to cover up what's really hidden on the inside. And that's the fact that we don't have enough faith to believe God for what he said. And so the record is clear. Jesus said, if God would take the time out to clothe, right in the text, those insignificant little flowers, those that are temporary in terms of even the most temporary of times, today and gone today, how much more will God make sure that you have food, water, clothing? But when you want all of that in excess, and when you're doing it with the wrong motives, then it becomes a problem when you cannot get what you want and attach worry to the reality of something that is of a natural nature, a fleshly nature, that has more to do with you and your wants than it has to do with God and his desire. Look at this. Second thing is, we must avoid the curse of worry. If we're going to analyze the cause of worry, we've also must avoid the curse of worry. What is the curse of worry? Well, again, it starts off with us understanding in verse 25 that worry distracts our mental life. It distracts it. Look at what verse 25 says again. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? What happens is, when you become worried about these things in excess, and these things to the point where they are taken out of their proper order and priority and have elevated them over the word, the will, and the way of God, the purpose that God has given to your life, the assignment that God has assigned into your life, and you put all of these other things on top of that, things again that God already knows you have need of, then that becomes a distraction to the reality of what God has assigned you to. Listen, my brothers and sisters, think about this. We spend more time trying to figure out what we're going to put on most mornings than we spend in time in prayer with God. We'll spend more time figuring out what we're going to cook and go and get it to cook and do all the rest of that than we do in feeding our spiritual man in the study of the word of God. And so what we don't recognize and realize is that these things that we are utilizing are really distractions from the assignment that God has for your life. When you then look at it and when it all boils down and you really figure it out, you're going to realize that the things you worried yourself the most about were simple distractions. Because then, after you eat and are full, you've drunk and you're satisfied, you've put on the fine clothes and all that you want, then what? How much time is really left then for fulfilling the assignment of your life? When you spent all of that time worrying about those things that just don't matter. Listen to this. Not only do we allow worry to distract our mental life in verse 25, but we also allow worry to destroy our physical lives. Verse 27. Look at what it simply says. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Some of us worry ourselves to death. Worry ourselves about stuff that does not, again, matter. worry about what can increase us the wrong way. It ought not be about you wanting to be a taller man, a taller woman in a physical stature, as much as you want to be a giant in the spirit to be able to do what God has called you to do. But most times our physical state is what our most concern is about rather than in our spiritual state. We're more concerned about the outer man than we are the inner man. Want to look good to folk who really don't care nothing about us. Who talk about us, who condemn us, who judge us. Why you waste all your time trying to look good for somebody that could care less about you?